I thank you all for your prayers tonight. Father, we are truly so broken by your mercy upon us. Father, thank you so much. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so our soul longs after you. Father, we thank you so much for drawing us closer to you. Thank you for creating us, O God, a contrite and a humble spirit within us to truly wait upon you. Thank you for what you're doing on this altar. Thank you for your children that have gathered tonight. Father, truly our heart longs for you. Our eyes look to you. Have your way tonight. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open the eyes of our understanding as you teach us by your spirit. And to you we give all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 I really want to bring glory to the Lord. And I want to thank you all so much. Truly, God is answering our prayers. God is hearing our cry. And your prayers for SLP and the work that God is doing. We experienced such an amazing gathering of pastors in the DMV area this last week. We're very humbled to see the heart of the pastors and the leaders coming together and really longing for unity and a place of collaboration. So we are so thankful, and we really want to welcome those that were able to join tonight in this conference call. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us this last time in DC. And we're very happy to be partnering with you in what the Lord is doing. Amen. We thank all our leaders on the line. And every one of you is amazing how God is using you. And to God be all the glory. Amen. Tonight, I want to share, you know how sometimes the Lord will use his word. He will use maybe a message or a teaching to give you an understanding of the seasons that are coming upon us, and also to encourage us in our personal areas of expectation to be able to discern the seasons we personally are walking in. So the scripture I want to share is more something you can receive as something you can receive personally as a word of encouragement, and also something we can receive, you know, as a word of encouragement and expectation for where we are as the body of Christ, as a church. But it's just a message, it's just a sharing. The scriptures, I want to read a few scriptures to help us be able to connect to this. In the book of Isaiah chapter 55, you know, this very popular scripture that we all make reference to is in Isaiah 55. He says here in verse 8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So, in the context of what I want to share tonight, this is the word of the Lord saying, God speaking to his servant Isaiah, that just using the natural to give us of the infinite wisdom and ways of God. He says, as the heaven is far from the earth, which we cannot even measure physically. See, that's how much you cannot measure or compare my ways to the ways of men, and my thoughts to the thoughts of men, which is the word of the Lord. So that brings me to the scripture that really tonight we want to talk about, just receiving the word of the Lord based on the ways of the Lord. I want to read the scripture just before Isaiah 55, which is Isaiah 54. And in Isaiah 54, verse 1, it says, "Sing, O barren, sing, O barren, thou that did not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord." Then he says in verse 2, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, the nations, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou disgraced or confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore." The reproach of thy widowhood anymore. The ways of God are so high. God is so big. And the thoughts of God are so high. In this scripture, it's amazing how the Lord was speaking to the prophet. And this is a prophetic word he's giving to Israel. It's a prophetic word he's giving to all of us in the season that God is speaking to us. He says, "Sing, O barren." Now, how can the barren sing? And he's saying, "Sing, O barren, because you have not brought forth seed. Sing, because you're going to break forth. You're going to have children. And he says, more will be your children than that of the married." So, and then he says, "Enlarge the place of your dwelling. Extend it, because you're going to break forth. And you're going to have people from every nation. And you're just going to be enlarged. Your desolate place will be turned into a fruitful ground. And your shame and your reproach will be taken away." That's an amazing. That's how God sees. That's seeing through the eyes of God, through the word of God, through the ways of God. And this scripture is very much connected to the position of the church today and in our personal lives, what God is about to do and what God is doing. Another way to begin to really bring understanding to the scripture is the life of Abraham. When Abraham, I started last week to share about why God changed the names of people and the covenant we're looking at. We looked at those things last week. This is the second part of it, a different picture of it. When God called Abraham, God is already calling Abraham into a finished work. But because flesh and blood cannot inherit the promise of God, flesh and blood cannot manifest what God has spoken. God has to, every promise of God has to be carried or sustained by a new wineskin. So when God spoke to Abraham, God knew that the promise will come forth through Abraham, from what I shared last week. So when he called Abraham, when he was 75 years old, he told him exactly what he's going to do. He told him exactly, he gave him the picture of the end from the beginning. So Abraham, being a human being and having human thoughts, human ways, human how things work humanly, he said, okay, just every human being, when you have a promise of a child, you get married, you have a wife, Of course, you start having children, like everybody else. So that's what Abraham thought. But this time he thought, my children will fill the earth based on the promise of God. So Abraham received the promise, stepped out, and started believing God for the breakthrough. But then he waited. 1 year went past, several years was going, and things were... All of a sudden, at some point, Abraham started asking God, wait, should my servant be the recipient, the heir to this promise? God told him, no, you know, he will not be. And then, of course, God still kind of waited, and Abraham was still walking by faith. At one point, as Abraham was struggling, the Lord told Abraham, he called him, he says, look, see, as look into the sky and see if you can number the stars. And then he told him, look at the seashore, if you can count the sand of the sea, of the seashore. And if you cannot, so will be your children. Now, God is speaking as God, and is wanting us to see based on his word, and based on how what he's going to do, you know, to see through scriptures. So he's now causing Abraham. He says, Abraham, see what I'm going to do. See where I'm taking you. See what I'm going to do. But Abraham, when he sees as God is speaking to him, seeing the vision, seeing what God is saying, he sees nations born by Abraham. He sees seeds and nations coming to Abraham. But then when Abraham comes down from the mountain, or he comes down from the spiritual realm, and he looks in the natural, there is no child. Sarah is barren. There is no child. Sarah is barren, meaning totally fruitless. No fruit at all. So it didn't make sense to Abraham, because Abraham is still looking at the ways of men, the thoughts of men, compared to the ways of God and the thoughts of God. So finally, Abraham was still struggling at this point, and that's when Sarah's womb now was dead. Just he couldn't produce. And they came up with the idea. I talk about this a lot because it is something that we must really, consider seriously. So as they were struggling with this promise, Sarah suggested, okay, because see, the position of a barren woman is, like it described in this scripture, is a place of desolation. It's a place of hopelessness. It's a place of discouragement. It's a place of, you feel rejected. You feel out of place. And the Bible here used the word a place of reproach. It's a condition nobody wants to ever take on. It's a situation that nobody wants to take the shame of it. The reproach is overwhelming. And so Sarah has been in that position for a long time. And now finally her womb died. She's old. So the reproach is overwhelming. So nobody wants to be there. Now, barrenness, dryness, you know, total desolate position, a place of mockery, rejection, and shame. So now Sarah now told Abraham, you see, there's no way this can come through me. So, let me adopt my handmaid so you can bring forth. So be married to my handmaid. So now Abraham went into the handmaid, Hagar, the Egyptian lady, and Ishmael was born, you know, which is through physical marriage. Ishmael was born. Outside of that, natural marriage, when people get married, they naturally produce children. So, and that's that's something God has ordained. But the children that we give birth to naturally, we claim them as our children. They are ours. And we train them, and we establish them based on the way we want them to grow up. They are our children because we give birth to them naturally. So, but in this situation, God is talking about barren woman sinking. and that the barren woman will bring forth children, and they will fill the earth, because they will come from the nations. So Sarah now and Abraham came up with Ishmael, which is the arm of the flesh, the arm of human wisdom, human ways, human strength for overcoming difficult times, trying to overcome and overtake, trying to break out of place of shame, place of discouragement through human strength, human ability, after God has given you a promise. So after that, of course, Abraham didn't know that in his heart, he was already nurturing for Ishmael to be the heir until God visited Abraham. So God visited Abraham first and said, Abraham, now, like I shared last week, I'm going to establish a covenant. I'm going to now establish my promise with you with a covenant. And the covenant will be circumcision. I'm going to cut out the old. I'm going to cut out flesh. And I'm going to bring out this child now. But for this to happen, I'm going to change your name. Because now your name will be called Abraham. Exactly the son of promise. You know, father of nations. So, and then I will change Sarah's name as Sarai to Sarah. These are new wine skins. So after God told Abraham that, now God told Abraham that this child, the promise God gave, will come through Sarah, this new name. Abraham laughed. Say, God, I mean, you know, he laughed. Tonight, partly what I'm trying to get to, and we get to it by God's grace at the end, God is about to do something that when you hear it, you will laugh because you think it will never happen. You will think, let's just think about something else. God is about to do something in the earth for the church, for you, that if God tells you what he's about to do now with you or for the church, we just laugh. Just like Abraham laughed. And Abraham said, no, God, I mean, let Ishmael be. You know, don't worry about that. Again, we are using human ways to determine what God can do. We're using human thoughts to look at what God has promised he will do. So God says, no, Abraham, it will be Sarah. So now, a few while after, you know, in that same season, God now came. This, you all remember the story. Abraham was in his house and these three men were coming. Angels were coming. And Abraham recognized them to be visitors from heaven, cooked for them, prepared everything. And then the Lord spoke again to Abraham while in the tent. Sarah was behind the tent. And then God told him, he says, in this cycle of time, in this season, Sarah is going to bring forth, in this time of life, Sarah will bring forth. From that moment, you know, Sarah was going to bring forth a child. And this time the Lord was speaking, he's visiting him, angels. And then Sarah was behind the tent and laughed. And they said, why did Sarah laugh? Sarah said she did not laugh. So, first of all, when Abraham heard what God was going to do, he laughed. Now Sarah heard it, she laughed. Why? Because the ways of God are so high than the ways of men. And God speaks based upon his ability and the way he wants things to come. Now, of course, when Isaac was born, it was called laughter. So now, Sarah is now not only barren, but her womb is now dead, according to scriptures. Abraham now is old, almost 100 years old, and very feeble. At this very stage, this scripture Isaiah brought, you know, because scriptures go back, they go forward, and they are also present. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. This scripture Isaiah quoted is the same scripture that relates to Abraham and Sarah in those days. I almost see God telling Abraham, telling Sarah at that moment, sing, O barren, because your time has come. the season, that time that God has spoken for you to bring forth. The nations will come to your womb. You'll be mother of nations. Sing, O barren, your time has come. Your season has come. And more will be your children than the children of the married. Nations will come out of you. Sing, O barren, enlarge your tent. You know, it's almost like that could have been spoken to them. But because we are human, it's hard to receive a promise when you everything in you, everything you can see with your eyes, everything you can feel with your feelings, your five senses is telling you it's over. This will never happen again. That's when God is saying, sing, the season has come. Why? Let's look again at a few more examples. Because tonight, part of this is to let you know why God does what he does with people that he does it with, so that no flesh can receive glory. Again, we'll see the life of Rebecca. Rebecca got married to Isaac after Isaac was born, and Rebecca was barren. And then Isaac prayed, and again, you see Rebecca, like we shared last week, there was a battle in her womb, and that's how Esau and Jacob, they were born out of the womb of a barren woman. Then we see the life of, again, of course, you see Jacob eventually manifested, became the heir, and then carried the baton to the 12 tribes, and then he moves things. God promises multiplied from there. But then let's look at again another example, the life of Joseph. Why would barren women be the people that carry the baton for the promises that God has given to Abraham from generation to generation? He started with Sarah, barren. And then Isaac came, then Rebecca barren, then Jacob came, and then Rachel became barren, and then Joseph came. Joseph came out of Rachel, you know, and then Joseph was the one that went forth before them to manifest the promise in Egypt and release them, you know. So let me use a final person here again to show that every barrenness is not always totally medical situation in the physical. And then we'll come back to why the Lord is sharing this with us. In the book of 1 Samuel, we know the story of this man called Elkanah. He was married to Peninnah, and he was also married to Hannah. In First Samuel verse 5, it says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord has shut up her womb." Verse 6 says, "And her adversary also provoked her a lot, made her miserable severely." Verse 6, "For to make her miserable, because the Lord has shut up her womb." In this scripture, sometimes when we read it, we overlook that place, and we just fast forward. We talk about, of course, the breakthrough Hannah came. But the Bible makes it clear, it was the Lord that shut Hannah's womb. So you can see also in these people that we mentioned, if there's anybody on the face of the earth that as they got married, they would just bring forth fruit immediately, it would have been Sarah. It would have been Rebecca. It would have been, you know, Rachel. Because their husbands treated them, gave them the best. They had everything except the barrenness. And here Hannah had a similar situation. The husband preferred her. The husband gave her the best portion. The husband did everything. But you cannot escape the reproach of barrenness, the shame. And on top of it, the enemy provoked, the enemy mocked, the enemy pushed her. But the Bible says it was the Lord that put her birth in time on hold, shut her womb. Then Hannah prayed. Hannah sought the Lord. It was when Hannah was praying, something was revealed to Hannah by the Lord in prayer. And he was negotiating with the Lord. And this is what Hannah said. Hannah said, God, if you give me a child, this child will belong to you. It is totally yours. You have it. It will be yours. If you give me a male child. So Hannah made this covenant prayer with the Lord. But it was God who inspired it. Why? God shut up her womb. Until Hannah came to a place of desperation, a place of longing, a place of breakthrough, a place of prayer. But in the midst of that prayer, Hannah prayed the heart of God. He prayed the will of God. He came into a prayer that you will not pray if you're just naturally married and having children. A prayer you will not pray when you've not come to that place Hannah came. A place of desperation. Hannah prayed, God, your will be done. Your will be done. What does this mean? Because God's heart is always looking for fruit. God is looking for harvest. He's looking for children. He's looking to have fruit, to have plenty of children. But the problem is, when these children are physically and naturally born, human beings claim them. Human beings take them. And they never dedicate them to the Lord. We take over them. They are our children. They belong to us. And so, naturally, of course, they belong to us. So, God hardly finds the ones that are really His. So that He can say, okay, this is what I want you to do. This is what I've sent you into the earth. This is what I want you to do for my purpose. That's why God requested that every first male in the life of Israel should be dedicated to the Lord, because he's looking and he knows we claim them. But in Hannah's situation, the revelation came. It was a covenant prayer. God, if you give me this child, it belongs to you. Now, we are talking about children here. But if we go back to this prophetic word that I just shared with you, Isaiah 54. He says, sing, O barren. Sing, O barren. Rejoice, O barren. What does God speaking? God is so excited because he has seen a barren woman pass the test of the time. Sing, O barren woman. Let me paraphrase it this way. It's like God is saying to Sarah. It's like God is saying to Hannah. It's like God is saying to these barren women that have cried out now to God. Say, God, give me a child. Let's look at God saying to Hannah. Hannah, sing, rejoice. You know, because now you're going to give me a child that is going to be mine. Sarah, rejoice, sing, because out of you now will comfort my children, will comfort that which is mine, my covenant children. Why? Because when a barren woman like Sarah's womb is dead, when a barren woman like Hannah knows that she will never have a child, when a barren woman that knows that their time, there's no way to have, when they finally cry out, they have children, they know it wasn't their children. They know it was not their child. Because humanly, they couldn't have it. They know it's the Lord, and they turn it unto the Lord. Like Hannah said, this child belongs to you. Then finally, God gave Hannah as many children as he needed that would be hers. But Hannah was able to say, God, this is your child. So the Lord started showing me through the scriptures. We're talking about physically now, but God started showing me how many times we pray for ministries. We pray for a move of God. We pray, God, give me ministry. God, do something with my ministry. God, do something with it. God, move in America. God, do this. God, do that. God, do that. But many times, like a married woman, when we get these breakthroughs, we take ownership of it. It's my ministry. It's my this. It's my that. It's my. And all of a sudden, we get attached to it. And we begin to direct it the way we believe it has to go, through our ways, through human ways, everything like that. But God is always looking for a move of God, for ministries that will say, God, it belongs to you. Because I know there's nothing in me that could give it, you know, because these ministries were born out of a state of barrenness. A place where you know there's no way in you, you would have given birth to a ministry, or you would have given birth to a move of God. There's nothing in you that would have made it happen. It is so easy to say, God, it is yours. How do you want this to be? You say what you want and we do it. But the things that are physically, humanly born, when a married woman, you know, usually we establish those things based on, because they are ours, we raise them up the way we want, we'll establish them the way we want, but we never say, God, if it's yours, I'm going to give it. And Samuel was giving to just giving away to the service of the Lord. Whatever you want to do with this, you take it. And the Bible says when God took Samuel, he didn't allow one of his word to fall to the ground. Why? Because what belongs to God, when God raises it up, it will be a voice for the glory of the Lord. So, when he says, sing, O barren, it's because barrenness is the only womb that gives birth to supernatural children. The wombs that naturally have, you know, that when we get married and we just get, you know, we just give birth to children, they are natural children. But barren women give birth to supernatural children. That's why the birth of Isaac was a promised child. They give birth to the promises of God. Barren women are pregnant with spiritual promises. So when people are barren, or when you're serving, you're praying, you're seeking God, you're waiting on God for so many things, sometimes it looks like you're desolate, looks like you're barren. Sometimes you will not know that what God is doing is you're about to give birth to something that is supernatural. God wants to bless you with things, but he doesn't want to bless you with things that you have the capacity to take the glory. You have the capacity to take and say, this is my, and you hold it so strong, and you're not willing to release it the way God wants to use it. And we hold it as if it belongs to us. And there are so many things like that. Maybe ministry, maybe job, maybe whatever, husbands, maybe wives, maybe children, that we hold so tightly, and we forget how God made it come to pass. So when God says, sing, O barren, is because God has made it impossible for the barren to ever, ever, ever say, this belongs to me. And every barrenness is always the place that the supernatural comes forth. If you watch all these people I describe, it says God shut Hannah's womb, but eventually God opened it. But God opened it after Hannah received the revelation that God needed something, that God will say, it's mine, it belongs to me, and see what God does with it. So, single barren, and the Lord is saying to us in this season, if you look at the church today, if you look at the nation today, it looks like there's a barrenness of a move of God, a barrenness of miracles, barrenness of authentic miracle, authentic hearing the voice of the Lord, authentic move of the Spirit. Why? Because over time, as God was using people and giving birth to things, eventually it came to the point where man begins to take over the move of God. It's mine, it's mine, this is mine, this is mine. And then we don't wait on the Lord anymore. Ministry means to wait. Seven means to wait. We don't wait on the Lord again to say, okay, God, where do you want to go? What do you want to do with this? How do you want to use this? Is it my or is it yours? And if, look at David. You see, when David received a prophetic word from the Lord, he would be king. David knew there's no way he could be king. So when God put him through a process and finally David became king, David never held that position so closely to himself. When his own son wanted to overthrow him, he didn't contend for it. He walked away. Because he says, God, this is not mine. It's yours. And if you gave me this position, I'm not going to defend it. You take care of it. And you put me back there. And that's what God did. And it sets us free. When we truly allow God to use us to give birth to things, we must constantly surrender that thing to the Lord. Because that way we have more rest. And we don't carry this thing and begin to carry a burden that is too big for us that only the Spirit of God can carry. You know? And we defend it, we protect it, we do everything. We want to provide for it when it's not really in our power, when only God can do it. And so that's the reason why sometimes when God wants to use people, the great people for big, big things, he puts them in a place of desolation, like David, like Moses. You see these people like Joseph. And like many of you on this line, you've been praying for some things for years. You've been believing for some things for years. But it's like because you've consecrated yourself, you're doing it the right way. You're serving God the right way. But you're not seeing the fruit. You're not seeing the big picture. You know, sometimes, you know, people that knew you when you spoke of it, people that knew you when you dreamt it, they probably laugh, they probably mock. And after a while, you're like, you give up on it. After a while, you says, it will never happen. That's the word of the Lord today. God is saying to everyone that had a dream, everyone that has had a vision, everyone that has believed God for big things, but because they have been faithful in consecrating, in setting themselves apart, in waiting on the Lord, and after a while it just looks like, as far as that vision, as far as that expectation, is a desolate expectation. It's a barren situation. It's not going to happen. I want to tell you, by the ways of the Lord, by how God operates, you are very ripe. You are really at the best moment for God to move and bring that thing to pass. Because God doesn't see through the eyes of human limitation. When we are at the most limited position, when we are the most barren, dead situation, that's when we are now ripe for God to move. Because that's what God is looking for, so that flesh and blood cannot contend with his glory. So if you don't understand why you've not seen some things for some time, it's because God wants to trust you with something great, so great that your flesh will be so weak to be able to contend for the glory that will come with it. And so that's what the Lord is saying to the church even now, the true church, the hidden church. There is a barren church. A barren church. I want to use that word based on the context of the scripture. There's a barren church. What I mean by a barren church, there are people that have been praying. There are people that have been seeking God. There are people that have been waiting on God for a long time. But the thing they are praying for, it looks like it's never coming to as they expect. But there are also another camp that have been using human gimmicks, human ability, human styles, and all kinds of things to produce what looks like a move of God, what looks like an atmosphere of God's presence. But they are filling up themselves. I mean, the places are full. I'm not saying every place that is full of a lot of people is not God, but there are some that is just entertainment, just a cloak, but it's not setting the people free. You know, that's the Lord spoke to me. He only, you see, if he wanted Moses to have Israel in Egypt, he could have made Moses the king of Egypt. But that would not be his children. As long as Moses is the king of Egypt and sets the children of Israel free in Egypt and let them know they are God's people, they are still in Egypt. But at that point, they are in bondage. They cannot enter the promise. God says, my children has to come out of Egypt. So that's why Moses too had to come out of Egypt and then bring them out of Egypt so that they are born, it's a type of a born again into, so that they can inherit their promise. So God's children has to be born again. They have to be true, authentic move of the fruit of the harvest that comes out of a place of barrenness. Amen. So be encouraged. The things you think God has forgotten, actually, this is now when it's really on his heart. Because the things that makes you look barren are the things that have positioned you and prepared you for the greatest blessing in your life. The things that look so far-fetched are the things that have now positioned you for miracles to take place in your life that God will do. And finally, there's a place of barrenness, but it's a different kind of barrenness. You know, there was a reason why Jesus was not married, because he was born of a virgin. But God was in the flesh. He wasn't married. Why? Because he didn't want to produce physical children. Because he was pregnant. He was pregnant with spiritual children. He was pregnant with spiritual children. Because physical children are born by physical relationship and spiritual marriage. So, marriage. So how was Jesus, you know, the best candidate for spiritual fruit? He was pregnant with every one of us with spiritual fruit. And in that pregnancy, he said, unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and die, he cannot produce after his kind, multiply. And on the cross, in the state of his barrenness, physically everybody left, the people ran. What was Satan telling him? What was the people around him mocking? Say, come down from the cross. They were mocking him. Basically, they were saying, shame on you. Look at you, barren. You died without a seed. Look at you. You're over. Your plan is over. Look at you. You have nothing to show. There's nothing to continue. There's no fruit. It's like mocking his barrenness, reproaching him on the cross. But the Bible says, Paul put it this way, for every barren person. He said, you have to see in the spirit. Jesus saw in the spirit. Paul put it like this, Hebrews, he says, Jesus looking at the glory, looking at the joy that was set before him, despised the shame of the cross, despised the reproach, because what? Jesus was looking, like God told Abraham, look in the spirit and see your children. Don't look in the physical. So Jesus on that cross, in that state of reproach, in that state where it looks impossible for anything to happen, he was looking at the joy. He was looking at you. He was looking at me. He was looking at billions of people that become saved from that time till now. He was looking at children that are God's children, not physical human beings. Children, but children that he will bring to God as the fruit of the kingdom. Just like barren women that give birth to children that are not naturally born, but they are children of promise. So my brothers and sisters, the Bible says the cross was the wisdom of God, meaning the ways of God, the mysteries, the depths of how God was. So don't look at yourself in the physical. Don't look at yourself in the limitation of what you're doing. Look at yourself based on the size of your prayer and the size of the vision God has given you. And always look at it as God told Abraham. Don't look at the natural. Look in the spirit where I'm taking you and what I'm about. Sing, O barren, for great are going to be your children. And you're going to be an enlargement when I do what I'm going to do. So finally, I want to say this. God is about to do something with you, with all of you, because of your prayers for America, for the church. That if you were to hear it now, you will laugh. Because humanly, we think, oh, let's forget about it. It won't happen. But God is about to do something. He's about to do something. So let's sing, let's rejoice, let's look beyond the position where we are now, whatever we're doing. Let's rejoice with heaven, because God has not forsaken the church. He's not forsaking your prayers. He's not forsaking his promises. He's about to bring it to pass. When we look like we're nothing, God is about to make us something. And it's about, again, to do something that will bring so much fruit to the kingdom of God. But this time, because it's going to come out of our weakness, out of our barren state, nobody will be able to say it is mine. I made it. It is me. I'm going to hold it. No, it's going to be like Samuel. God is going to manage it. God is going to raise it. And everything about this move of God is all going to point to Jesus. And it's going to bring so much glory, so much harvest. But we are going to receive the blessing. So let's pray into this, because we're heading towards there. So rejoice. Don't look at where you are. Keep looking at where God is taking you, and what God has promised you is going to come to pass. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing things your way, for bringing things by your spirit and not by the strength of man. Cause us to see in the spirit. Cause us to stand on your word and see revelation by your word. Cause us to suffer whatever it takes to wait until the supernatural comes. Help us not to create counterfeits, and help us not to pretend. Help us not to manipulate. Help us to suffer whatever it takes until that which you have purposed to do comes forth, so that you will be glorified in all our lives. In Jesus' name.